I'd like to start by reading two verses. The first one in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and verse 13. Watch therefore, ye know not the day nor the hour. One other verse, this time in Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and just a part of verse 20. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. In a sense, while we're reading the scriptures in Luke, to be watchful and to consider God rather than ourselves. Reading in the news, not that long ago, had an incident not far from here, where a tram took a corner and fell over and 7 people died. It was very strange reading about it on the news and seeing photos of a place that I've driven past when I was here to come to this meeting room. As you think, those 7 people, they were young people and they were old people, and they were on public transport and they thought they were safe and they trusted the driver and something went wrong. I wonder how many of those 7 had thought about dying. What about death? It's a very strange thing to start a message of hope with this concept of death. It's something that probably not very many of us have thought too much about. Maybe you have, I don't know. But that's the reality of where we are as Christians. So we've got to start off with what we know. And I can tell you right now that I know that death is a certainty. But have you thought about God? First certainty that I can tell you as a Christian is that death is certain, and there's a reason for it. The other thing I can tell you is that God is a certainty too. I can't prove it to you, I can tell you about it, and I can tell you what I know, but I know it for myself. So the first thing I'd like to think about is this idea of time. We've only got so much of it, we're told, here. A small portion of time that God's given you. And what are you going to do with it? Because God will come and he'll take your soul. There'll be a moment when your time is up and you'll have to face God. And that's a reality. It's a scary one, but it's a reality because I've seen where that tram fell off those rails. And I can tell you right now, not a single one of those people, as they were going wherever they were going, thought that that would be the end. Everything you do down here, everything you do counts for nothing if you haven't got Christ in your heart. It's a sad thing to consider, but I promise you this message gets better. It's a good start though. So the first thing is time. What are you going to do with your time? And what happens when it's run out? But the second thing is distance. And that's the distance between you and God. And from the very beginning, in Genesis, you can see that distance. The distance comes in as a result of sin and the disobedience of man to God. God asked man to do one thing, not to do one thing, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he did it. And then distance came in. It speaks of how God would walk with man in the cool of the evening. There was a closeness before sin. And then this disobedience comes in. And maybe you don't think about disobedience as being sin. Because disobedience is when someone tells you to do something and you don't. And it's very, very strange to think of that as something that's sinful. You can look at things like murder and you can go, I can understand how God doesn't like that. But why is it that we were told to do something and we didn't do it? Why is that sinful? Because God is righteous and holy, and anything he tells you to do, you must do it. That's what is sinful about disobedience. Maybe you don't realize it when you're younger, when your parents tell you to do something. But it's important to listen to them. And you've got to listen to God. This distance has been with man from the very beginning. And it keeps with us now. And I want you to truly examine your heart and see if you find sin there. Because I can tell you what the scripture says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the scriptures say. But I want you to find out for yourself. Because I can tell you what this book tells me. And this book is precious to me. But I want you to find out for yourself what your heart says to you. Because if you find yourself and you look into your heart and you see a sinful nature, then you're in need of Christ. I think it's telling if you find something that if you look into your heart and you see a sinful nature. Because it's something you see all these different characters in the Bible, and each one of them is marked with this sinful character. Except for one. And that's the person I want to talk to you tonight about. And why this message that starts out with death ends up with hope and life eternal. Because that person is Christ. And that's the person who I speak to you tonight about, and why this is joyful. Because Christ was sent down here by God. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's how much God loves you. I want you to think about that. You look into your heart and see a sinful soul, and you see nothing that God should love. But he loves you. In spite of everything, he loves you. So much so that he sent his only Son for you. I want you to think about that. If you spent your life down here, and you genuinely thought that God loved you that much to send his only Son, would you do something differently? Would you think about all those times you considered yourself and thought, maybe I should have thought about what God wanted? Maybe I should have considered, if God loves me that much, that there should be something in my heart that goes, wow, if he loves me, I should love him too. Because God sent his Son so that he can save you from your sin. Because the only way to get rid of that distance is to acknowledge what Jesus has done in dying for you, laying down his life for you. Speak of someone dying for you. This wasn't just someone, this was the Son of God. See, everything that Jesus did led him to the cross. He set his face steadfastly to go to the cross. Jesus' life, 33 years. All of that to die. Well, why is that important, you might say? Why is it important that someone died for me? It says in the scriptures about a friend that will lay down his life for you. What wonderful love that is. But Jesus was the perfect Son of God. And to remind myself of the importance of that life, I think about the children of Israel. As they were sitting there, and the angel of death was coming, and they had to take a lamb, and they had to kill it, and they had to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. But they felt safe, and safe with God. Safe in the knowledge that the destroying angel would pass over them, and that God would protect them. That's how I view this wonderful sacrifice. This one sacrifice that was given so that you could be free, and free from your sin. But not only free, to be free to approach Christ, to approach God, and to know the full love that's there. I feel very challenged in how much I know of God's love. I know that it's there. I know that it's infinite. But how much I know changes. And I hope that it grows. Because I want to know more of God's love to me. But what I can tell you is what I know. That Jesus died. And he died for me. But it's not just that. He was raised again. And I'd like to illustrate the joy. I'd like to read from Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 13. "And behold, two of them were going on the same day to a village distant 60 stadia from Jerusalem called Emmaus, They conversed with one another about all these things which had taken place. And it came to pass, as they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself, drawing nigh, went with them. But their eyes were holden so as not to know him. He said to them, "What discourses are these which pass between you as ye walk and are downcast?" And one of them, named Cleopas, answering, said to him, "Thou sojournest alone in Jerusalem, and dost not know what has taken place in it these days?" He said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the judgment of death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. But then, besides all these things, it is now today, but the third day since these things took place, and withal certain women from amongst us astonished us, having been very early at the sepulchre, and not having found his body, came, saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, who say that he is living. And some of those with us went to the sepulchre, and found it so, as the women also had said, but him they saw not. He said to them, O senseless and slow of heart to believe in all the things, in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And having begun from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made as though he would go farther. And they constrained him, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is declining. And he entered in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he was at table with them, having taken the bread, he blessed, and having broken it, gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from them. And they said to one another, Was not our heart burning in us, as he spoke to us on the way, and as he opened the scriptures to us? And rising up the same hour, they returned to Jerusalem. It's a long passage, but one I'd like to explain to you why it's precious to me. Because it explains the joy of knowing Christ has risen. Because it's not just good enough talking about Christ is dying for you. You need to know that he's risen and alive and is a living Saviour. Because that's really important to know. And these two disciples, they'd seen Jesus die. They'd spent time with him. But they had hoped. They had an idea of what Jesus was about. And I want you to think about, who do you know Jesus as? Here they thought he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. But he was a Saviour. A wonderful, redeeming Saviour. One who's bought you with his own precious blood. And they were downcast. You know, Jesus sees you as you are right now. And he draws near to you. A wonderful closeness to know that Jesus is there, watching every aspect of your life. And we think of all that distance that we have through sin. But this moment, after Jesus died, after everything has been finished, it says it is, the work is finished. There's nothing left to do. That distance was gone. And Jesus draws near to you now. Because he can. And all you have to do is believe on him. There is responsibility here. Yes, the work is done. But there's responsibility for you too. You have to believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you. We have hope. You know, sometimes we have an idea of what Jesus should do, of how things should be, but God is perfect. And the work of Christ is perfect too. And there's wonderful, wonderful joy and peace in knowing that distance between you and God has been removed. And then it says, he began from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And I think about that. We're reading in Luke, which is wonderful. But if you look at the Old Testament, all these scriptures, in every single aspect of these scriptures, Jesus looked through them and explained things concerning himself. I want you to think about that. I find myself so often looking at the New Testament and seeing a lot of what Jesus did. But have you thought about what that would mean to be one of those disciples and to open up these scriptures that might seem completely opaque? And Jesus says, this is about me. This is what will happen. This is what needs to happen in order for you to be saved. And then it's explained in the Gospels what actually did happen. These scriptures written a long time ago. I want you to think about that. This is precious. Really precious. Utterly amazing. But then, their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus for who he was. Are your eyes opened? Have you seen Jesus for who he is? Or do you think him as just a man? Or even a prophet? Or just someone that might be back in history somewhere? Because I can tell you right now, he's the Son of God. He's died for you. He's raised. He's broken the power of death. So when you consider your time here, you can think about eternity and feel joyful about seeing Christ. We might only have a small amount of time, and that's okay. And it's only okay if you know Christ in your heart. The alternative is in the scriptures. You can look at it for yourself. But I want you to focus on this wonderful feeling. Was not our heart burning in us as he spoke to us on the way? The feeling of joy. The first thing that they thought when Jesus left was, wow, there was so much love there. Let's go find other Christians and tell them what happened. See, it says here that they understood what had happened. They heard stories. They heard that Jesus was alive, but they didn't believe it. But no, they had this wonderful moment of their eyes being opened and they saw Jesus for who he was. And I want you to hold on to that moment if you have it in your heart, that if you've seen Jesus alive, hang on to it. Such a precious thing. That's where real joy is, to know Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And if you don't, pray and ask God that you might have your eyes open to see who Christ really is, because that joy stays with you. I want you to consider all these things. Mm-hmm. They're very precious to me. I would love that they would be precious to you, for his name's sake.
Amen.